Please step up and identify yourselves.
Stephen Richards on behalf of the appellant, Keith Middleton.
Assistant State's Attorney Phyllis Warren on behalf of the people of the state of Illinois.
You know our general procedure 1515 and a few, since there's only one case, we'll probably let you, unless you go wild, we'll let you go on a reasonably length of time. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Roberts. My name is, as I said, is Stephen.
I was going to introduce this case as Custer's Ambush, but I'll let it ride.
Your Honor, if I may begin my argument?
Yeah, sure.
Your Honor, my name is Stephen Richards, and I represent the defendant in this case, Keith Middleton. As you know, he was convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to very substantial prison time. I think the description of this case as Custer's Ambush from the defense point of view is quite appropriate. I will deal with issues 2, 3, and 4 in the brief, and of course I am available for questions on the remainder. But the key issue in this case, and I think it goes much beyond Keith Middleton and much beyond the facts of this case, is the prosecution's use of an undisclosed demonstrative exhibit in closing argument without any prior notice to defense, any opportunity to object, rebut, or to in any way respond to this exhibit. In an age of PowerPoints, Photoshopping, where digital evidence in particular is susceptible to manipulation, this sort of thing cannot and should not stand.
What did the judge do when this was raised, since I didn't look at the record?
What he did was actually a couple of different things. Let me describe the exact procedure. What happened was this was brought up apparently in rebuttal argument. I think it might have been alluded to. There's some indications it was also may have been used in opening close. But it's clear that it was used in rebuttal argument. So immediately after rebuttal argument, defense counsel moved for a mistrial and said, this is not disclosed to us. It hasn't been admitted as evidence. We don't believe it's accurate.
That's after the jury is sent back?
This is after the close of evidence.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
Hang on.
Sure.
So evidence is closed. The state gives their closing argument. Defense gives their closing argument. State gets up in rebuttal, and it's time to go Photoshop City.
Correct.
and argue this. Was the objection made in open court? Did the hearing about what the court wanted to do with respect to the use of this occur before the jury was sent back to deliberate, instructed and sent back to deliberate?
Yes. I would have to check the record, but I am at 99%
certain. That's my understanding.
99% certain. What happened is immediately after the rebuttal, before the jury is instructed, defense counsel asks for a sidebar. There's a sidebar outside the presence of the jury, and then there's the discussion.
And the trial court considers it and decides not to instruct the jury on the basis that this young man, Torian Connor, did testify in some respects in a way that is consistent with this, so he allowed it to be done despite the fact that it had never been produced. Is that fair?
It is fair, but let me get the details straight.
Sure.
Just so that you know that. First of all, defense counsel said, we want a mistrial. That was their first request. Mistrial, no way to, without reopening the proofs, essentially, to do anything about it. And we'd like the opportunity to rebut with our own Photoshop showing what he looked like with a full face mask. The judge said, well, you don't have that. And he said, of course we don't have that. We were ambushed. The second thing the judge says is, if you want, I will instruct the jury. Now, at this point, the prosecutor says something which I think is kind of key and very interesting. He says, judge, are you going to ask the jury to disregard? And my guess is they probably wanted him, the judge, to do that.
Right, so they'd have some cover.
So they'd have cover. Judge doesn't do that. What the judge does do them is give an instruction which would have been appropriate had the demonstrative evidence been admitted during evidence. He said this
Let me just add to that point. At no point during the course of the trial did Tory Connors testify that the photos truly and accurately portrayed what occurred?
Absolutely not.
So that was never offered, that was never brought up during the trial?
No. What was brought up was the arrest photo, and I believe the arrest photo was used not through Tory and Connor, actually, but through a police officer just to show what photos were used in a photo array. So that was it. There was no, he never, Tory and Connor never was shown the photo and said, well, look at the photo, demonstrate, you know, with your hand or drawing what the mask looked like. Maybe that would have been appropriate. I don't think so, but maybe. And certainly the defense would have had an opportunity to object and to put in counter evidence. But there was no, this was just sprung on the defense. And as I suggested in my brief, a logical inference is that the reason it was brought up in closing was because there was no opportunity to object. Had it been brought up at an appropriate point, as any point of demonstrative evidence is, and as the procedures laid out in the case law suggest, the way you deal with demonstrative evidence is you have some sort of hearing, some sort of discussion, some sort of representation that some witness is going to say that demonstrative evidence will help me explain my testimony, will fairly depict something, and then it's either admitted or not admitted after a proper procedure in front of a judge. I mean, this action really converted the trial into a trial by ambush.
So there was never any opportunity prior to the rebuttal for a motion in limine, and there never was any made as to this?
Well, defense counsel represented, and the state did not disagree, that defense counsel didn't know about it. It wasn't shown.
Okay.
He didn't know what was going to be done. Now, let me say, as a trial practitioner, because I do both, probably jack of all trades, master of none, I have seen situate people use PowerPoints nowadays. I don't use them much. I used to, but I find they're distracting. But in every recent case I've had, the prosecutors have shown me their PowerPoint that they're going to use in closing in advance. And sometimes I've seen minor things like they underline words in instructions and I let it go by. But that's what you would do. You would say,
at any point during any of the argument, the post-trial motion on this particular issue, did the state fess up as to when this was created, how it was created, and who created it?
No. The only discussion I had, because I was the post-trial attorney, was I wanted to make sure that it was put into the record. And the prosecutor did put it into the record, did impound it, and made it into the record. And that's all I know about how they came up with it, or how it was produced, or when it was produced, or why it was produced. And certainly the judge didn't inquire as to any of these issues. And obviously this was kind of central to the case. If you also allow me to just give another anecdote, I had a recent trial, actually my last jury trial, in which the prosecutor did something much milder. In closing argument, he wanted to use a measuring tape to demonstrate the jury what 10 feet is. And he had shown it to me before. He didn't say exactly what he was going to do, but I objected during closing, and the judge said, if you've done this during trial, that's fine. Had a witness say, this is 10 feet, great. But you didn't. So you can't use your little measuring tape to measure out 10 feet.
What sort of a curative instruction do you think would have taken care of the error of them throwing this up in front of the jury?
My first answer is none, and my second answer is, at a minimum, disregard. That was improper, disregard. You're not allowed to consider that at all, whether you believe it. You're not allowed to make inferences to whether it shows anything, period.
In terms of the standard of review, you're suggesting that we find that this was an abuse of Judge Burns' discretion to not instruct the jury and to not grant the motion for mistrial, correct?
I believe I believe I argued in my brief, and I can check it, that de novo review would be appropriate.
How's that?
And also I should say that I don't think it matters because I think clearly no reasonable jurist
would. You're going to have to defend the abuse of discretion standard.
I'm going to have to defend, in other words, you're applying the abuse of discretion standard, and I'm not likely to convince you to do de novo review.
I'm trying to save you time.
Okay. Yeah. Without waiving my position.
Understood.
No rational jurist would have reacted in this way. Any rational jurist, at a minimum, exercising his discretion, would have instructed the jury to disregard. And I would suggest that any rational jurist, knowing that the prosecution had ambushed the defense in this particular way on a key issue in the case, would have granted the mistrial, period.
Did the trial judge apply the right legal standard in deciding whether or not to allow this demonstration?
Actually, since it wasn't brought to him before, the answer is no. I mean, he never, first of all, in terms of the photo, our position would be that, in general, the rule is you don't alter photos. We cited case law in that respect.
The question before that is, the mask was never recovered, right?
Correct.
So you can't really create something that doesn't exist.
I could not have said that better myself, and I think I did say something similar in my brief, but that's the truth. There is no mask to make the comparison. The witness had a general impression of how much of the face was covered and testified to that, but whether this particular blocking accurately reflects what the witness believed the mask covered is a mystery because the witness was never shown the blocking.
That's why I asked you whether truly and accurately, meaning how could you if...
You can't. And that's the reason why some of the older cases, including the case from the 40s I cited, said, in general, there's a reason, I never thought of it when I was first out in practice why we do this. You have to say a photograph truly accurately depicts something. And if you want to make markings on a photograph, then you have to say, okay, with this marking, this X, is that truly and accurately depict where the car was, where the person was? And then you're allowed to do that. But you need a witness, a foundation, and some sort of procedure to get there. So I don't think the judge applied the proper legal standard. Had he would have said this is not admissible even.
Okay, if the case were to be remanded for a new trial, what, if any, other evidentiary issues would need to be addressed before it gets retried?
Before it gets retried, assuming that you don't reverse out, obviously, the other issues that I think you should say need to be addressed on remand really have to do just with making sure that the evidence as to the victim's state of mind is narrowly limited. Now, the judge tried to do that, honestly. He has sustained a number of objections. But obviously, if Your Honor say in your opinion it's correct, that the prosecutor should have not been continuing along those lines.
Even though there's objection.
This is just the exciting or enthusiastic witnesses.
During one of the second witness, yes. The first witness, no. Because in the first witness, basically the prosecutor keeps trying to hit that ball. Okay, he had concerns. What are the concerns? Objection sustained. Was it concerns about a person or persons? Objection sustained. Was it concerns about a person or thing? Objection sustained. And the prosecutor's argument in their brief that he was really trying to get to maybe the concerns where he couldn't find a parking space, I think that's ridiculous. Obviously, he's trying to suggest to the jury that Mr. Brown is afraid of Mr. Middleton, and that's why he's parking this car in this particular position.
Okay. So, any other issues?
Some of the things that the prosecutor said in closing argument, without going into detail, again, a statement in the opinion reversing saying that you would not like some of these things to be repeated would also be appropriate. I don't think I identified major issues upon the part of the judge. The major thing that was going on was, I think the prosecutor was trying to get into Brown's state of mind, and a couple of times there was overruled objections where our opinion is the judge let him go over that line. So again, a statement that the line should not be crossed would be helpful. But otherwise, we do think that you should reverse. We do think it's an important opinion because it's an issue which comes up not only in criminal but in civil trials, and that for that reason, these reasons, Keith Middleton should be granted a new trial. And if there are no other questions, I know Your Honors are liberal with time today, I will reserve my remaining comments for rebuttal.
Thank you. Sure. Take your time.
Thank you. Your Honor, Assistant State's Attorney Phyllis Warren on behalf of the people.
What's your name again?
Phyllis Warren, W-A-R-R-E-N. Your Honor.
Okay, you're not on the brief.
Okay.
I did write the brief, yeah. I should have.
Oh,
it's on
there.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, my mistake.
We're ready for you.
Thank you. Your Honors, the trial court did not abuse its discretion in denying counsel's motion for a mistrial at the close of the prosecutor's case.
Before you get to that, though, about the trial court's failure to sustain the objection and instruct the jury to disregard something that obviously should not have been shown to them?
Your Honor, there was no objection until the conclusion of the rebuttal argument. At that point in time, defense counsel then asked for a sidebar and made the motion for a mistrial. After the court indicated it was going to deny the motion for mistrial, the court then gave the jury an instruction specifically dealing with that exhibit and then instructed them fully with the full set of jury instructions.
And what was the instruction specifically dealing with that exhibit, as you say?
The court specifically told the jury, this is not an actual photo. This is merely a demonstration. If you do not believe that the evidence accurately, or this demonstration accurately reflects the evidence you heard, disregard it. And then the court went on to instruct the jury with the full jury pattern jury instructions.
Do you have any cases you can cite for us where it's okay to use doctored mugshots in rebuttal without any foundation being laid during the trial itself? Because this is one of the more offensive things I've seen in a record.
Your Honor, I do not have any cases. It's the state's position, however, though, that this is not trial by
evidence. The trial lawyers had enough evidence to convict this man. This is over the top.
Your Honor, it's the state's position that this should not have come as an ambush or undue surprise because this was properly based on the evidence. This was a photo, a police photo of the defendant that was properly admitted into trial. And what the the prosecutor did was put a mask over it.
It's not a mask. They doctored it up. They dummied it up. They threw something up there. They could have done this with magic marker.
And Your Honor, they could have taken their hand and the prosecutor during rebuttal argument could have taken their hand and placed their hand over the arrest photo, the lower half of the defendant's face, and said, remember what Torian Connor told you? He told you that he could only see, or he could see from the upper half of his face.
Only a prosecutor who's worried about the quality of the eyewitness testimony would go so low as to use an exhibit like this in rebuttal.
Your Honor, it's the state's position that this was properly based on the evidence, and this is no different. It would be proper for the...
Let me ask what I asked him.
Yes.
At any time, did the state or did anybody get Tory Connor to testify that the photo truly and accurately depicts the face of the shooter at the time of the crime?
No, Your Honor.
So it should not have been used, therefore, at all.
Well, it's the state's position, though, that it's properly based on the evidence because Torian Connor demonstrated...
You can't get it in if you didn't get that statement in.
It wasn't admitted as an exhibit. It was used as a demonstrative aid, Your Honor.
You still have to lay a foundation for demonstrative evidence.
And it's the state's position that there was a proper foundation laid given Torrey and Connor's testimony. Torrey and Connor specifically testified that he could see from above the defendant's
nose. Show us in the record where Torrey and Connor ever saw anything like the photo that's doctored up here on the left.
You're correct, Your Honor, that specific photo, absolutely. That specific photo was not shown to Torrey and Connor, and Torrey and Connor never testified that that was an accurate representation. However, he did testify to what the representation was.
A semi-foundation is enough.
Well, Your Honor, I'm also going to direct this court to what the trier of fact who saw the demonstration that Torrey and Connor made in court, where Torrey and Connor took his hands and said that the mask stopped below the defendant's nose. The court, in its ruling in the mistrial, specifically noted that Torrey and Connor, this is based on what Torrey and Connor said. Torrey and Connor testified that this...
So why didn't you put the exhibit in front of Torrey and Connor? Okay, is this what it looked like?
Your Honor, the record is silent as to why that happened. What I can say is that Torrey and Connor did testify...
Isn't that what's supposed to happen as a safeguard so the jury doesn't get stuffed that overly emphasizes something that's not true? So that you can at least have someone say whether or not that demonstrative photo is what he saw?
Your Honor, it's the state's position that this does accurately reflect
Torrey
and Connor... The record is silent as to why that did not take place, Your Honor, but it does, it's proper because it's no different had the prosecutor taken their hand and taken the arrest photo and just merely placed their hand on it.
You said Connor did this. Why didn't the prosecutor do that at the argument? He said this is what it looked like. Why didn't he just do that at the argument? He did something totally different.
Well, that would have... It's the state's position that this is even more accurate because the prosecutor didn't use their own
face.
Well,
how do you know that? Because the witness didn't say that's more accurate. No one said that's accurate.
We know it's accurate because the trial court who observed what Torrey and Connor demonstrated in court...
This isn't getting us anywhere. You're not going to... You already know what we think about this issue, so I would suggest you address the other issues that counsel and... the justice here raised that would be issues that may be addressed on remand. That way you have protected the record, and I don't want you to be further abused because of some state's attorney who wanted to be a hero, and you're not him and you're not her, so we don't want to hurt you in this case. You're doing your best with a case that the state should have... It should have gone differently, and it didn't, so you can't do much on this issue. So just try to address those other few issues so that we make a record for whoever gets the case on remand.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, I believe the other issues dealt with the state of mind and the testimony of Markia Ambrose and Damian Parker. The record affirmatively rebuts defendant's claim that with Markia Ambrose, there was repeated attempts to elicit improper hearsay. It's pure speculation. Counsel's comment about the state's statement in the brief about, well, we don't know what the concerns were. It could have been for a parking space, right? It's pure speculation because the objection was sustained. So for counsel to speculate in the same manner that clearly she was trying to get out impermissible hearsay, it's speculative. The judge sustained the objection. There was nothing improper that the prosecutor was trying to do with Ambrose other than give a full picture of why the victim was parking his car away. I don't know the reasons. It was sustained. Once the court indicated this is hearsay, the prosecutor said, well, look, I wasn't going to get into content, but then moved on, immediately moved on and did not revisit that issue. So there's no repeated attempt by the prosecutor for Ambrose to elicit improper hearsay. And with Parker was voluntary. I believe there was some allusion made to that this was an excited witness. Parker repeatedly was volunteering information, and the prosecutor repeatedly asked, and at one point even said, you know what, Judge, I'll ask a leading question in order to avoid eliciting any improper hearsay. And Parker is allowed to testify to his observations about what the victim's state. That's clearly admissible as long as it's relevant. And it was relevant in this case because Parker was explaining why they were following the van. There was nothing that was done that was improper regarding the testimony in Anders or Parker or the judge's rulings. Counsel also made some comments about the prosecutor's closing argument. Your Honors, for the reasons stated in our brief, the comments were all proper. They were properly based on the evidence at trial, and if there was any error or anything the court finds improper about those comments, they were isolated, they were brief, and the court's instructions that arguments are not evidence, that would have cured any possible error made during argument. It's for these reasons, if there's no further questions, Your Honors, it's for these reasons and the reasons stated in our brief that we'd ask that you affirm the defendant's conviction and sentence. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your Honor, given your comments about which issue should be addressed on possible remand, I was looking it over. I think issue 5 should not be addressed because if there is a remand and retrial, I intend to try the case, so issue 5 will become moot. That was the issue about the ineffective assistance for failing to object to the foundation.
Because you'd be effective
on that issue.
Hopefully on all issues. You tee it up for me. I'm going to swing at it.
I know. Okay. But I don't think there's any need for Your Honors to consider that unless for some reason you wanted to or there's some teaching purpose. But I don't think that's going to come into play if there's a remand and a retrial. Okay. Thank you.
I just want to thank you both. This is a difficult case, especially for the state, and it's especially hard for you to try and protect your record as best you can. So I appreciate your effort, and I appreciate you being short and to the point.
Thank you.
It's hard for all the family members to think about the prospect of a second trial.